All right, well, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as we look around the world around us, it doesn't seem much like heaven sometimes. But that is our hope, our desire, Lord. We want to be with you. We want people to see you. We want to be filled with your presence and joy and peace that flows from yourself. Make us instruments, Lord, of your peace. Allow us the privilege of bearing your name. We thank you, God, and I ask that as I attempt to teach, that you would help me to do so, and that as they attempt to listen, you would help them to do so. I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning and open them up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to try to polish off the chapter, I Make You No Promises. A lot of really heavy prayer requests today. We're really excited that Hayden's surgery went so well. We would ask you to be praying for the youth gathering tonight. We've been having quite a few teenagers show up. If you'd like to come out and enjoy yourself, it's going to be a lot of fun. But be praying for them tonight as they hear the word of God. Praying for you guys. We also had a really good discipleship meeting the other day that went really well. There's just a lot going on. Whoever's texting me, stop it. I don't know who's, is that, I'll call you out. Who is that? Oh, I won't call them out. That's sweet. Okay. Somebody who's not here today sent a text. They didn't know that I'd started because they're running on a delay. That's okay. But what we're looking at here in the book of Ephesians, and I want to kind of give you a little bit of the background here. In the ancient world, people didn't blend together very well. They disliked one another intensely. The Gentile world and the Jewish world kind of existed in separate spheres altogether. And when Jesus came and he preached the gospel, he didn't preach a Jewish gospel and a Gentile gospel. Jesus preached to bring all men to the cross. That regardless of your background, your skin color, your political preferences, your musical tastes, how much money you make, that we are to be one in Christ. To bear one another's burdens, to love as Christ loved, and anything short of that is a shame. We ought to be praying daily, God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Help me love those people who don't love me back. Help me be patient with those people who deliberately infuriate me. You guys are giggling. You have those too. That's so nice. It's nice to know other people have these problems. It's hard to love your neighbor. I'm really good at loving the people who live like two or three streets away, right? Because I don't see them. Now, thankfully, my neighbors are nice. I like my neighbors. But that hasn't always been an easy thing to do. Sometimes people live next door to you, and they're not respectful or kind. Sometimes you're in traffic, and your neighbors have all lost their minds. They see the speed limit is 55, and they interpret that as 25, and they just putt right along. And I think to myself, if you don't have anywhere to go, why don't you stay home? I got places to be. There you go. That's not a good thought. I get impatient. I get in a hurry when what I really need to do is to recognize that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the actions of my mind and body affect the world in which I live. And church has a reputation for being not a place of love and compassion, but has a reputation of being a place of pride and arrogance and hurt. I think if I was to sit down with each of you in private and ask you and tell you, I really want to know your church story, I think many of us would be honest and say it hasn't always been a pretty story. But right now, we find ourselves with the ability to create a body that lifts up one another in prayer, that is compassionate to one another. When you see a little kid run down the aisle, just let him go. He's a kid. I was preaching at my friend Nick Church's church there, Covington Christian. We like to move around so that you guys can hear guest speakers and that sort of thing. But middle of the sermon, their church kind of has a sloped floor. Middle of the sermon, a Hot Wheel came flying down. And I thought, poor kid lost his Hot Wheel. I was tempted to, like, stop the service, get this Hot Wheel back to its owner. That, for me, when I was a child growing up in church, I was kind of scared of church. You didn't have fun at church. You didn't laugh. You just, your job was don't get beat. Like, that was my goal. Like, don't embarrass mom and dad so that you get a whipping. And ultimately, I realized there's so many people who are so worried about things that really just enjoy the life that you're given. We have church in an absolutely beautiful place. We do. God has put us in a little sliver of West Virginia here in Ohio, and you should be praising God for that on a regular basis. But when you go out and about on a Sunday, your heart should be focused on the things that unite us and to view yourself as a peacemaker, someone who brings joy to the fellowship and to the gas station and to the traffic light and to the restaurant. Wherever you are the ambassador of Christ. This is why it is so evil to carry the name of Christ and live a life of hate and judgment and sin. To do so is to mock the name of God. It is to drag his honor and glory through the dirt. And the church in Ephesus was having a hard time with this because they were so used to disliking one another. I am a big Mountaineers fan. I love my Mountaineers. But I have noticed here in Ohio, and you were just talking about this, Mountaineer colors are gold and blue. If I walk around wearing my gold and blue Mountaineer hat at Walmart, I oftentimes get this from the other end of the aisle. Oh, that's not a Michigan hat. That's a West Virginia hat. It's good to see you. I get this judgment from afar, and then as their eyes focus in, and they're like, that's the weirdest looking M I've ever seen. Suddenly, they're okay with my presence. You all ever experienced this? You guys are like, no, I cheer for the Buckeyes. What's wrong with you? You ought to cheer for a real team like the Mountaineers. But you carry this, even with like silly things like a ball team. Like the evil was present last week, and that's just the fact. The Browns punter, I can't explain what happened. I don't know what happened. It's not going to happen this week, okay? Expect the light to triumph over the darkness. The Browns will win. It's going to be great. But in the long run, who cares? You know, it does matter, your children, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your body and your family. Do not allow small things, judgments, to cloud your heart and your mind so that you are incapable of living a life that lifts up others around you. That's what the Ephesians had to figure out. They had to decide, are we two churches or one church? Is there a Gentile church and a Jewish church, or is there church? Is there a communion table for the Jew and a communion table for the Gentile, or do we all break bread together as one body? The church is God's calling to the world. Come and be one. Come to the table, lay down your hatreds, your differences, and allow the love of Jesus, which you and he and she all have, to be the thing that unites us and lifts us up. For in the love of Jesus, there is tremendous power, a soul-changing, world-altering power. But we're tempted to think of it as like the thing we do sometimes on a Sunday. You show up, you hold down your pew. It's real nice when you're here. I love it. But honestly, this is just an extension of your love of Jesus. Did you ever meet somebody and find out they're a Christian and go, yeah, that's funny? No? I'll introduce you to some. I look at them like, what in the world? I never heard you talk about anything that had to do with Jesus. I would not have guessed at all. I would have been more surprised to find out they were a secret ballerina. Okay? When you're looking at things, you think to yourself, how is it that your love of Jesus doesn't show up anywhere else in your life? I'm a Browns fan. It comes up all the time. I'm from West Virginia. I have to prove to people I can count and do multiplication. There are all kinds of things that come up on a regular basis. I love this stuff. It's part of what I love. And so it comes across. The reason I'm not going to be here next Sunday, we've got a Gideon coming in to speak to you. And while you listen to the Gideon, I'm going fishing. I have no problem telling you this because I love it. I can't wait. I'm going with two other pastors. And we're going to go out and I'm going to try my best to catch a salmon. What's really going to happen is I'm going to stand in the water and just pray a lot. Dear Lord, you who made fish, you who control the seas and the rivers, I promise you I'm going to pray more than you are on Sunday. But if you think of it through the lens of, no, you only worship God in church, you're missing the whole point. We gather together, not out of obligation, but we gather together out of love and excitement and out of a focus on our God. That's what this is about. So when the Ephesians started to pick this up, they really started to stop and think. So you're telling me that there aren't supposed to be Gentile and Jewish congregations, that it's one. Yeah, that's the point. What God was doing was drawing all men unto himself. Let's begin looking at verse 14. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Here he's speaking of what we just talked about. What is it that makes Paul bend his knees? It is the fact that God has created unity where there was hatred. He has brought peace where there was disruption. He has brought family where there were strangers. This divide that existed between people and still exists between people is only possible to be overcome through the God that made you to be so. Let the love of God fill you, and you will find a love of God present in your heart. It reaches out to others. I don't believe there will truly be peace in my life until I am fully at peace with my God. I believe that the closer I walk with my God, the more able I am to walk close with others. That my focus on things of heaven affect the way I act on earth. Are you following me? What Paul says is, when I think about that, I bow my knees before God and I just say, woo, that is great news. Only you could do that, Jesus. Only you could take everybody who hates each other and bring them all together in love and compassion. And to be quite honest with you, for a church to not have that is as sure a sign of sickness as exists within the world. We've gotten hyper-vigilant about signs of sickness as COVID has spread across our culture. But the church must also be aware that there is a sickness of the soul that exists in each and every one of us. And it also is rather contagious. If your friends are all grumpy, isn't it real easy to also be grumpy? If everyone else in the pew is complaining, how easy is it to also be? So easy. I'm just going to go with the flow. I also am mad about things. Instead, we find ourselves, you notice the Bible does not say, blessed are the peaceful. It said, blessed are the peace what? makers, those who step into troubled times and lift up in safety and love and compassion those that are around them. There are enough people out there who are stirring troubled pots. Instead, I look for people who will bring peace to a situation. A pot that boils over needs someone to come alongside of it and help it get off the heat. Here he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. When's the last time you did that? He said, well, I bow my knees before God all the time. Yeah, I'm sure you do. What do you talk about while your knees are bowed? Dear Lord, here's the sick list. If you wouldn't mind fixing them, I would appreciate it. You think God doesn't know they're sick? You think he didn't know from the beginning of time what burdens we would face? What Paul does, and I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for the sick. You absolutely should. I am saying that that should not be the heart and soul of our prayers. Imagine that you're dating a girl, or you're married to one, or a guy. You've got to include the whole everybody here. And she only talks to you, or he only talks to you, when he or she wants you to do something. That sounds like a match made in heaven, doesn't it? I just love how you boss me around all the time. I just love how you never talk to me unless you want something. It's a sure sign of the deepness of our relationship. That's what no one said ever. Instead, the love that you have for one another draws you together. Yeah, you face problems. Yes, you have trials. Yes, you ask each other things. But the root of it is not desire for change. The root of it is a love for one another. So it exists here. What you see here is the Father has given every family in heaven and on earth its name. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I do have a question for you. What does it mean, family in heaven? Jeff, I have no answer to that, but it stopped me the other day. I'm going to skip it and move along because, not because it's not important, but because, I don't know. It seems to be talking about some. I've never been to heaven. I don't have the travel brochure. I got nothing like that. Instead, what it's saying, within the heavenly realm and within the earthly realm, there is family. There is unity. This is the natural state which God intended us to live in. And not only the family in heaven, but the family on earth. Here we are, many families, many backgrounds, many interests, many likes and dislikes, yet we are to be one people, united in a love of God, and our pursuit of the cross draws us all together. I get to go salmon fishing, and I am really excited about this. I have never caught one in my whole life. I've never even seen one in real life, except small portions of them on plates at restaurants. So to have the opportunity to go on this trip is a big deal for me. And I get to go with some of my best, Nick Church is going with me, Jacob Kessling, and we're going to ask dorky theology Bible questions the whole time, and it's going to be a complete Bible geek fest. I'm excited. But when I get there, there's going to be half of Michigan standing in this river trying to catch the salmon as they run from the lake up to their spawning grounds. I expect it. They are all drawn to one place because they are pursuing one thing. Do you ever go Black Friday shopping? It's an abomination in the eyes of God. My mother and my sister love it. They get all the cool Christmas presents, and I think to myself, haven't you heard of Amazon? They send it to you. Click. There's this whole Cyber Monday thing. It's fantastic. I've told you this before. One of the best things about COVID has been this whole social distancing thing. I've been campaigning for this since the 80s, that everyone should just stay a couple steps away from me. But when you're at a Black Friday event, nobody recognizes your space. People are aggressive with the buggies and the carts because you all want one thing. Do you know why the church splits? It does not desire one thing. Do you know why the family crumbles apart? It is not resting in the love of Christ. What? I know you guys are like, John, how in the world did you drag those two verses out that long? I'll be honest with you. This is one of the most constantly convicting thoughts in my life because it pulls me away from the selfishness that is so natural to me into a love for one another. Not just me and mine, but for all those I come in contact with. That I should be a light on the hill. A picture of love. That's not usually who I am, naturally. I had to get up this morning and beat my beard into submission and try to make my face look presentable because I don't wake up naturally refreshed and happy and ready to go. Any of you morning people out there? God bless you. You're a different species. I just don't. I wake up and I have to really make myself get up. And it doesn't matter how long I sleep. It's just what happens. I don't tend towards perfection. I tend towards disaster. Anybody else relate with that? I do. If I'm going to get better, I can't just wait for it to naturally happen. If I am going to get better, I have to purposely pursue righteousness, peace, the goodness of God. It tells us here that he has named us. In the Old Testament, God gave his name to the people. He told Moses on the mountain, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." That does not mean quit cussing. It's much more than that. So if you thought to yourself, well, I don't cuss, well, good for you. But that's like the doorway. That's not the point of that passage. To bear the name means to carry it with you. Take up his name. Take his name means to call yourself a follower of Christ, means that you ought to actually follow Christ. All the time. I was at a West Virginia game years ago. They played Virginia Tech. It's a basketball game. And I don't know if you've ever been at a home game where sometimes they can get, this is true of Ohio State too, okay? It's not just West Virginia. But sometimes home fans are not nice to visiting fans. I'm sitting in a wave of blue and gold, and there's this one guy up there gobbling like a turkey because he's a Hokie fan. And there's these guys down in the front, and they're getting drunker and drunker, and they turn around, and they are just, like, they have no idea what's happening down on the ball court. Their whole purpose is let that guy know he's not welcome. Eventually, the security guards show up, and they escort those guys out of the building. And you could tell right away, this guy came to enjoy a ball game, and instead he got verbally abused. You say, well, what does that have to do with church? That's exactly how many people's experience with church has gone. They have come seeking fellowship and instead found judgment. They have come seeking the word of the Lord and instead heard the stones and arrows that we cast at them. Don't be surprised when sinners are sinful because you are one yourself, aren't you? Just other people sin a little differently than you. Don't be shocked to find that imperfections exist in other people, but instead be shocked when your focus pulls away from Jesus and you no longer become a fountain of the grace of God because sin has blocked up that channel. Bear the name of Christ. Verse 16. We bear this, and then it says, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Do you know how hard it is to maintain love for unlovable people? I got a lot of nods there. Yes, I have experienced that. I bet you have. I find that pre-coffee, people are terrible human beings. And post-coffee, I can ignore terrible human beings better. That's been my experience. But I also find that my fuse can be short. How about yours? Do you ever have moments where you just, this is going to be bad and you need to go? That's where I get to sometimes. I naturally run out of patience often. And I'll publicly confess my sin. Some people are just unbelievably sweet-tempered. Have you met those folks? I mean, the world could crush down on them and they'd have a blessing for everybody. That has not been my experience as a Christian. I struggle at times. When I'm hurt, I want to pull back away altogether and just sever the relationship. I don't always want to press on and find healing. I want to cut and run. Other people want to fight you. Neither of those is leading towards unity. What Jesus is being told here is that by our patience with one another, by the peace that passes all understanding, by the love that the different groups have for one another, God receives glory. For only in God's heart could the world be drawn into peace. How many different types of government have we tried? How many different types of this and that, and this will fix the problem, and that will fix the problem? Do you know what will really fix the problem? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. If that exists, the world in which we live is radically transformed. So why can't we do that? Because we sin. That's why. Because we don't want to. My son Patrick has developed a new saying. Have I told you this one? If I don't do what he wants, he looks at me, stomps his foot, and says, "Well, I'm leaving." Which doesn't mean he's running away. It means he can no longer stand to be in a room with someone as wicked as myself. "Well, I'm leaving." And he does this head bobble and stomps his foot and off he goes. Your son would never do that. I know that. Little Emmett is just sweet. Okay. But mine has got a temper. And I have a feeling that by the time he hits major, you all are going to have to make like call and check on me on a regular basis because I will not be okay. It is hard sometimes to do the right thing or to have the patience or to know, am I failing as a dad? Where did that come from? I didn't teach it to you. I start rehashing in my head. You know, am I failing as a dad, as a father, as a husband? What's going on here? And the simple answer is this. I am living in a fallen world with fallen people. The problem is obvious. The answer is difficult. There was a man called G.K. Chesterton years ago who wrote a book, and in it he said this. It is not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. Christianity has been found difficult and left untried. And what he meant by that was exactly what I'm talking about here, to die to self and live for Christ. Let me show you another verse, verse 17. By pursuing love, by pursuing joy, by pursuing mercy, by pursuing unity, even in the face of division, we give God glory, and we do this so that Christ may what? Dwell in your hearts through faith. And that when you do this, when you step in faith and love of others and of Christ, something amazing happens. You are rooted and grounded in love. The Bible often uses garden imagery to describe human beings. It seems to think at times that you are very much like trees. If a tree is rooted and grounded, that's a good thing for the tree. It means it's healthy, strong, able to provide shade and shelter and fruit for one another. Do you ever feel sometimes like you're not really very stable? Like, I had a really good week, and I loved Jesus, and I did great. And then the next week happened, and I don't want to talk about it. So I confess my sin. And it's the same things I confessed last time. It's just like recycling. Why is it I can't seem to get consistency? Because the natural state of a human being is to have ups and downs. C.S. Lewis called it the law of undulation. The circumstances, the heart condition, the feelings that I have, they go up and they go down. But my love of God is the thing that keeps me centered. John, I'm going to guess that you don't have too many mornings where you wake up and think, I think I'm going to be a Steelers fan. Does that happen often? Never. See, Cindy, he's wise. It doesn't mean that the Browns always play good. I mean, they don't. But you have a love for the Browns. That uniting loyalty is the thing that brings stability to an otherwise unstable person. We have ups and downs. The question is not, did you sin? The Bible says, if you sin, and you will, is the idea, you have an advocate with the Father. Confess your sins, and he will be faithful. He'll forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The question is not, have you sinned? The question is, what are you pursuing? If I ever found Tim Angle deer hunting with a fly rod up in a tree, I would have questions for you. A lot of them. And phone numbers for doctors. You don't pursue deer hunting with the equipment for fishing. But I seem to find people in church pursuing pride and arrogance and division. And to me, it's just as though you've showed up hunting the wrong thing with the wrong equipment. The love of God is the thing that unites us. Our church has no flashy lights. There was no guitar solo. There was no zipline pastor dropping into the pulpit to entertain you. Although that we should look into that. That sounds, maybe I could get an amen then. The thing that we are is you. If you love one another, you show the glory of God. If you pray for one another, you show the glory of God. And by praying and loving one another, you become stronger in Christ. Your spirit becomes more stable, more mature. Look at verse 18. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How is the church able to be so many different voices and yet in love with Christ and protective and compassionate to one another? Only through the nature of Jesus is this capable. Otherwise, we do it in starts and stops. But our world needs more people starting than stopping. The hatred of our world has grown so strong. The evil around us shocks you, perhaps. Let me ask you, does the silence of the church shock you as well? Because the person that God placed here to make peace is sitting in your pew. The person that God placed here to lift up and protect your neighbors, your children, your relatives, even the mean ones, is sitting in your pew. Glenn's thinking, yeah, I'm glad Kay sits over here. No, she also, but I'm talking about us individually. It's not about me looking around and being like, why don't you be more like Jesus? It's about me becoming more Christ-like myself. And what did Christ do? Christ bore the pain and suffering of the world in an attempt to bring unity. This is what the church is called to do. And the only way to do that is through the grace of Jesus, that we would experience the fullness of God. Verse 20. You say, John, I don't know if I can do that. I agree with you. I don't know if I can do that either. And some days, I'm really bad at it. And sometimes, I find within myself a strength that was not mine. I find a grace in my words that is not natural to me. I have a mouth that runs faster than my brain thinks. Can anyone else relate to that? I just do. And sometimes what comes out is not kind. And other times, I come away from a conversation, you've probably had these too, and you thought, that went much better than I thought it would go. Thank you, God, for creating in me that moment. Listen to what this says. Now, to him who is able to do far more than ask, according to power at work within us, to him be glory. Where? In the church. And in Christ Jesus. For how long? Forever and ever. Amen. Pass this to your children. Show them what compassion looks like. Show them what loyalty looks like. Show them what patience looks like. Will they see your flaws? Yeah. They're going to see it and know it real well. But do they also see a heart that grieves its flaws? That seeks deeper faith? Or do they find in you just another sinner manipulating others to get what they want? I don't know what God's going to bring into your life, but I do know this. You are bearing the name of Christ. So bear it well. Show the love of God. Show the patience that you can. As much as is possible, live at peace with all men. And when you find that you sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive you. Come back to the cross. For in Christ we find our deliverer. My God, bless your church. Help what I've said to break through my flaws and my struggles. And reach the ears of your people. May they go out of this building with a desire to give you glory, with a desire to live your glory, with a desire to bear your name among the nations. May we be one as you are one. For it's in the name of your Son we pray. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? We have a final song.